WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the Thanksgiving holiday. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I've been sitting around eating my pumpkin pie ice cream for my friends at Wise. I'm about to switch to eggnog. And we're moving the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're going to be playing Black Friday, 2 to 5. We're going to be up in Harford County at Comrades Crabs with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman. Also at Pappas on the 3rd of December. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. A crab cake every Friday. I need some crab cake stuffing for my turkey. I got to figure this whole thing out. It'll all taste a lot better, as will the leftovers on Sunday night, if the Ravens can continue to win against all odds, no matter who plays or who they play. The Cleveland Browns come to town, which gives me a chance to catch up with some old friends. Scott Petrak has been covering the Browns for a long time in Elyria, the Chronicle Telegram. We usually welcome him back anytime the Ravens and the Browns get together, which will be often here the next couple of weeks. I mean, I didn't realize the Browns have like a bye next week, right? Like finally. So they actually have a home-and-home series with the Ravens, which is a little weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. You know, the Browns got the better of that because the Ravens have the Steelers in the middle. The Browns will be home resting. So that's why it's just huge, right? I mean, you guys know it. This is Browns have not played their best all year, but they can figure out a way to take these games against Baltimore. The season changes for the Browns, at least.
Well, I mean, I've given primers all week on our backup quarterback and Nick Boyle being back and, you know, Patrick McCary being back and, how ugly the victories have been and fortunate they've been and how ugly the losses have been. If you saw the Bengals game or the Dolphins game around here, but a mixed bag with the Browns. I mean, I guess the loud part is Odell Beckham Jr. and he's not even around anymore. The other loud part would be the fact that Baker Mayfield's clearly not healthy, right? I mean, right. So these are the storylines leading into this, but the storylines always take a different turn. But you know, when it comes to Sunday night at 8:25, the things we're talking about now won't be those things. But Nick Chubb running the ball and the Ravens tackling him, the difference maker in the game. I mean, if they do that, they'll probably win. If they don't, they'll probably lose.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. They need to figure out something in the passing game. I mean, that's the issue for the Browns, and that's why they've only scored 17 or fewer in six of their last eight games. So I think they'll be able to run it. They've been able to run it against just about anybody. But what's the separator for them is that they can make enough plays in that passing game. And that's what happened in Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago. Baker was able to hit Donovan Peoples-Jones on a deep ball, a couple of deep balls, actually. And that changes how this Browns team and offense works, is when they can do something in the passing game. And you mentioned Baker not being healthy. That's the issue, is can they do it with a banged up Baker, no Odell, Jarvis Landry's not 100%. Peoples-Jones didn't play last week with the groin injury. Anthony Schwartz was out with the concussion. There's a lot of issues going on with that passing game that doesn't give you a whole lot of confidence. It's going to be corrected. Not saying it can't, but there haven't been a whole lot of signs that it's going to turn the corner.
All right, so for Mayfield playing and Case Keenum not playing, I mean, we find that to be a little curious here to some degree, and maybe that'll change before Sunday night. Who knows, you know? I mean, with injuries and what happened with Lamar on the team playing and last week. But Case Keenum, the case for playing him or not playing him, he's killed the Ravens. I mean, you know, he's been a truly professional quarterback, right? And has had teams bet on him and spend money or whatever. But much like the Fitzgeralds or, or Fitzpatrick, I was thinking John Fitzgerald Kennedy, I guess, from this week. But these sort of veteran backup, professional backup quarterbacks, he's that guy and he's there for this reason, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big debate around town is why didn't he play against the Lions, right? You should be able to beat the Lions with your backup. An expensive backup, you're paying $6 million a year. Let Baker sit, let him try to rest up and heal a little bit before this big two-game set against the Ravens. And the Browns didn't do that. They played Baker. He didn't play well. He came up limping in the second half. And it just started a bunch of questions, and then it didn't go well. Baker was not happy after the game, frustrated, didn't talk to the media, came out yesterday and finally talked to us, and then took a shot at the fans and expressed his frustration, mostly in how he's playing, was his point. I tend to side with Coach Kevin Stefanski and just playing Baker. I feel like if your quarterback says he's healthy enough and he's out there and able to move around enough, you play him. And he's a number one pick and, you know, guys playing for a long-term contract. Like, go out and play your starting quarterback. I get the other side. I get that, hey, maybe Keenum probably would have played better than Baker did against the Lions. So I understand that. And I know that the injuries are a factor. But then I see Baker make good throws against the Lions. I see him scramble a couple of times. So I feel like he can do what's necessary. He's just not getting it done. And, yeah, maybe that inconsistency can be blamed on the injuries. But if you can see a guy make a bunch of good throws and move around well enough, then he should be able to do it, you know, consistently and over the whole game. And he just wasn't able to do that. So I think I'm on the same page thinking wise as the coaching staff, but there's a lot of people around town and in the media who disagree and say Case Keenum's a better option right now. And Baker's just too banged up to play.
Scott Petrak is here. He covers all things Browns, as well as we all do at this point, via Zoom and via mask and via not locker room access, which is weird for all of us. And, you know, I guess this is where the little secrets of Odell Beckham Jr. and why guys are playing and why guys aren't playing. I mean, it really is a different life covering this, right, where the access is just completely different than anything. It's my 30th year doing radio than anything I've experienced. When people come up and want to know inside information, The world's different.
It is. I mean, this year's better. You know, we're in person, interview the coach in person every day or most days, interview the players. But not being in the locker room during the week and during games makes a huge difference, right? After games, we talk to the four or five players that the team presents, which means you're usually not talking to the guy that has a bad game. You're not talking to the random offensive lineman. There's a lot of guys that you want to talk to after games. And during a normal year or normal season, normal times, you talk to 12 guys after a game, right? And you get to pick and choose who you talk to. So, yeah, it's completely different. I feel like, yeah, I have a better sense of the team this year being in person to interview the coach and players. And there's way more one-on-ones this year than there were a year ago. But it's certainly not what we're used to.
Well, for our team, we lost in Miami, right? And, you know, I mean, Lamar ran the ball 21 times against Minnesota, and I, you know, contributed in the postgame press conference that maybe that wasn't the greatest scenario. And then they go out 96 hours later and just get embarrassed in Miami. And then Lamar's unavailable this week, yet they still find a way to win. I mean, there is a resiliency to Team Harbaugh and Team Purple and – in the same way that the Steelers kind of stink, right? And we watched them play Sunday night, they still had a chance to win. Yeah, I walked out, went to the bathroom, walked back in, they're winning again. I said to my wife, what the hell happened, you know? And even the Bengals have been resilient, right? And we wait for them to bungle up. They came in here and beat the snot out of the Ravens a couple weeks ago. So this division really is a back and forth. And I do love kicking you guys in the groin here all week long. My wife asked me this morning, because we have tickets for the game on Sunday night, and we're being separated by the team, and I'm unhappy about that in a lot of ways. But my wife's like, do I want to go sit in the cold, 35 degrees, Sunday night, late night game? Or we want to sell the tickets? What are we going to do? And she's like, hey, the Browns are pretty good this year, though, right? And I'm like, they're still in last place. Let's just put them in there. Just put them where they are. They're in last place. But it is a season where the Ravens can easily be in last place or wind up in last place, literally.
Yeah, the division is crazy. I read the John Harbaugh transcript this morning from yesterday, and he got asked about the division. And he said, oh, it's always good and the records don't matter. But the fact is, for a long time, the Browns were awful or the Bengals were awful. But nobody's awful anymore. And the Bengals have progressed faster than I thought they would to get to where they are this year. I was not one of the people that was writing off the Steelers before the season. I know there are a lot of people who were. I just know how strong that team is and Tomlin is and that culture is. And I think we're seeing the same thing. I think we're seeing the same thing with Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Their franchises this year are able to overcome a lot of crap. And on a bunch of different levels, and they're not all the same, but I feel like when you win for so long and the culture's built up and you have a really good head coach, whether it's Harbaugh or Tomlin, it allows you to win and give yourself a chance to win week in and week out. And that's something I feel like the Browns and Bengals are still striving to get to, is to be that franchise that can overcome things, because the Browns are struggling to overcome adversity this year. They just are with Baker and with Odell. So
Lamar came running out of the bathroom last year. You know what I mean? Like, it beat him, right? I mean, like, it's crazy. And that's why, for me, this Sunday night, I mean, we get our ass kicked by the Bengals. We see the Steelers next week and see you again. the Ravens are going to lose a couple of these games, you know, and it's going to be ugly, and it's going to be the backup quarterback, or it's going to be the Baker doing something, or they can't tackle Chubb, or somebody will kick a field goal or block a kick. Something's going to – it's the AFC North. We're already 0-1. Right. I mean, literally, right? I mean, we're first place. We're 0-1 in the division, and with an ugly loss.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you. And, you know, I mean, is 10-7 going to be enough to win this division? Maybe. Are the teams going to beat each other up down the stretch? I mean, the Browns still have – 4 division games left. You guys have 5, right? So it's going to be interesting to see, but I have been impressed. I know the Ravens have had a couple of terrible losses, but they've also had some games they shouldn't have won and figured out a way to win. Pittsburgh keeps giving themselves chances. So, you know, it's going to be whoever plays best inside the division over the final 7 weeks is the team that's going to come away with a North championship.
For you with the Ravens and watching this thing from afar and, Lamar and the injury. I mean, you can talk about injuries in Cleveland or whatever. I mean, Ronnie Stanley, Marcus Peters, the kind of the 3 running backs the week before the season starts. It's interesting how the league has put these games at the end because it is always an attrition situation. I mean, how many teams go into Thanksgiving weekend without their starting quarterback, without their wide receiver, and then it gets only worse into December. Now we're playing games halfway into January. But it is unfortunate. You know, I mean, like I didn't want to get on a plane and fly to Chicago and eat really good pizza and have a good time and then watch our backup quarterback running around. I mean, I hearken back to that game last year where the Broncos played a game without a quarterback. Like, no one wants to see that. And this is a time for the league to shine a light on all of this. But it's also amazing at the league itself that every week, no matter who's on the field, whether it's Tyler Huntley or Lamar Jackson, how good the product is, you know, against the field. Because you watch basketball and baseball, too. This is a lot better.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And, I mean, there's games that the product isn't great, right? I mean, I just watched the first half plus of the Ravens-Bears game right before we did this. Oof. And that's not the best football, right? But it's compelling. I mean, there's a difference between being good product and compelling, and the NFL's almost always compelling. And you know, you hear coaches say it all the time, and you dismiss it because it sounds like coach speak. But the fact is, if you do not play well in a given week, you're not going to win a lot of games. And we saw that with the Titans getting run over by Houston on Sunday. The Browns almost lose to the Lions because they don't play well. It's just a league that's so tight, and when you have that attrition, and you have to deal with adversity, and you're missing your top quarterback, your top 2 receivers, then all of a sudden the playing field gets even more level. And I think we're seeing that more than ever this year with just some of the crazy results that you're not used to seeing.
Scott Petrak joining us here from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram, covering all things Browns and now Guardians. I got to watch my eyes, right? I mean, I got the R word down in Washington, and things are changing. You got any opinion on the LeBron thing, or are you out of the LeBron business? Cleveland's never out of LeBron business. Just like somebody, Cal Ripken punching somebody or something, right? Like, it's sort of like, whoa, what's that all about? You know, I've watched it. It's such a physical game. It didn't feel as cheap maybe as it does in real time. When you slow it down a little bit, you're like, it's a war under there. But I know it stirred everybody in the NBA up for a week.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't spend a whole lot of time studying it. It happened while I was in the press box right after the game Sunday. And I know people were talking about it in the press box. And I saw the guy for the Pistons go after him. You know, LeBron, I don't think he's ever been a dirty player. You know, 1-game suspension, I think that means the league did not consider it was – a really grievous act. But yeah, you know how it is with LeBron. Plenty of people hate him. Plenty of people love him. And we're always talking about him.
Do people really hate him that much? It really, you know, I don't know. What's the hate about LeBron? Unless he's beating your team, I guess.
Well, like,
From the outside, I don't find him to be odious in any way.
Well, no, but I mean, if you're from Cleveland, it's he left twice. I mean, that's where hate comes from.
You know what? It's crazy that as I get older, I killed him for 10 years on that announcement to Miami.
Yeah.
I don't know. Time heals everything, right? I mean, even I just said something nice about LeBron. So how about that? Scott Petrak is here, and we'll be there when we get out there 2 weeks from now in the land of Cleve. I'm still considering getting a sitter for my cat and not having an open locker room. But there's great food in Tremont. I will say that. So if I do get out there, it'll be a great holiday. Always good to visit with you, man. Are you bullish on the Browns? Do you think they're going to bootstrap and pick up here, or you fall into that Bungles thing where they're the Browns, they won't make the playoffs?
It's not that. They've just been so inconsistent. The Baker issues we've talked about, and they get beat 45-7 by the Patriots, barely beat the Lions. It's tough to feel like the change is coming. So I think it's completely possible. I think if they win in Baltimore on Sunday night, everything changes, and then they're my favorite to win the North. But I need to see them do it first.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And they will be given an opportunity at 8:25 East Coast time. Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth. Turn the sound down. Scott Patrack is here. You can find him there at on Twitter and at the Leary Chronicle Telegram. Appreciate you coming on, man. It's always great to visit with you, talk a little football.
Good seeing you, bud.
Scott's great guest. We will have some great guests on Friday, Black Friday. We're going to be presenting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be at Conrad's Crabs with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman. Also going to be joined by my pal Bill Cole from Cole Roofing, as well as Eric Sauer, survivor from There Goes My Hero, leukemia survivor, and our family friend. We're also going to be at Pappas on the 3rd of December having a crab cake. Mike Bordick's going to be joining us, as well as Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global and Jim Reese from Offutt Kerman. Great conversations ahead. Wise conversations, if you will. I have my wise scooper here, but I've been eating all my pumpkin ice cream. Appreciate them. Appreciate all our sponsors. Luke is out in Owings Mills all week long through the holiday, eating the turkey and the figgy pudding. Any breaking news will come to you on the WNST Tech Service presented by Coons Ford Security Boulevard. Dennis will be here Thursday for your turkey from 3 until 5, and then again on Sunday morning. All day long, red zoning on Sunday, waiting for some football. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. I might even have some Rofo fried chicken to go with my turkey this weekend. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.